Good morning. Thank you, Liam, and thank you for your good singing this morning. Great to be back on this beautiful Sunday morning, and good to see each one of you here. We trust that you will continue to be encouraged and blessed as we continue our series here at Roslyn Ridge, which is entitled Rooted and Built Up in Him. If you're just joining us for the first time this morning, this is the fourth message this morning in this five-part series. We've been focused, last week we thought about building deep, we thought about building up, and Wednesday night we considered what it means to build around in terms of our relationships with one another. This morning we will focus on building in with respect to our relationship with the Lord, and then tonight, Lord willing and with His help, we'll conclude this series by considering what it means to build forward. Building forward with respect to our witness, our testimony, our ability to reach out to those around us, and how we do that. And I think you'll find, hopefully, some thoughts tonight that will encourage you and help you as you seek to live for the Lord. Our passage this morning comes from Hebrews chapter 10. And if you have a Bible with you, please turn to Hebrews chapter 10. We are going to read verses 19 through 25. Hebrews chapter 10, 19 to 25. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain that is through His flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The Lord will bless us the reading of His word this morning. Let's pray together. Father, we do come before You this morning to give thanks for this opportunity. We give You thanks for Your Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank You for every thought and remembrance we have had of Him this day. We thank You for the opportunity to worship You publicly in this way. We pray that You will just speak to us now as we open Your Word. Teach us, Lord. You know what it is each one here this morning needs, and we pray that those needs will be met through the power of Your Spirit and through Your Word, and we will be careful to give You all the praise and the glory for what You're about to do. We look to You and ask for Your help now, realizing that without You, we can do nothing. We ask Your help now in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come back to Hebrews chapter 10, thinking about this whole topic of building in, how do we build in with respect to our relationship with the Lord? We find these three statements in the passage we have just read. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, we read, "Let us draw near." And if you underline things in your Bible, here are three statements that would be good to underline. Let us draw near, first of all. Secondly, in verse 23, we read, "Let us hold fast," or "Let us hold on tightly." And then thirdly, in verse 24, putting two statements together, "Let us consider one another." This morning's message would be categorized under a series that I have done in different churches over the years, something like Christianity 101. There are some really basic, important things that we need to be reminded of this morning as we seek to grow in our relationship with the Lord. And as we build in with respect to a stronger, deeper relationship with the Lord, there are some really key practices that we need to consider and be reminded of, and we will do that this morning through this passage. Let's begin by considering this first statement we find in our scripture reading. Let us draw near. Verse 22 says, "Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water." Let us draw near. Have you ever had the opportunity to draw near to somebody who you really sort of admire, or somebody who you greatly respect? Obviously, being an athlete and growing up around athletics, there have been times when I've been able to get pretty near, pretty close to some people who were maybe the best in the business at different times throughout my history on this earth when it comes to athletics. I remember going up one night when I was at York University as a student, and that's going back a long time, but they were hosting the Canadian Tennis Championships, And I went up just late one evening to go, I think I actually was going to the library, which was something I didn't do much of in high school, but university, I had no choice. And as I walked onto the campus, there was a tennis court there where we played tennis, where I took tennis lessons. It's a great thing doing a phys ed degree. You basically play all day. It was really good. We had to study some things. But as I'm just literally walking by this tennis court, it's just me walking by this tennis court, and I look in there, and there's John McEnroe, like the current best male tennis player in the world. And he's just there warming up with his coach. And I stood there for half an hour and just watched John McEnroe, like from here, you know, to the front row, and watched him go through his ground strokes and watch him play. And it was just amazing to observe and get that near. I've had chances to watch Wayne Gretzky play live. I've had opportunities to get up close with professional golfers. This past summer, a friend of mine who goes to a church that I speak at, he was a member at the golf course where the Canadian Open was held. And, you know, he said, "Do you want tickets?" "Well, sure." "Well, what day would you like the tickets for?" I said, "I love to go to the practice rounds because nobody's around. You can kind of get near. You can kind of get up and close to some of these guys." And I literally, you know, walked and was like 2 feet away from some of the greatest golfers in the world and had conversations with them as they were sort of practicing and getting ready for the championship, which started the next day. It's pretty neat to get that near. And getting near for me is a chance to observe, to learn, to watch the best in the world at these skills that I sort of admire and sort of still achieve to get better at certain things. Be that near is really, really a unique opportunity. The greatest example, though, of getting near to somebody you respect involves my brother. And some of you know my older brother, and some of you wish you didn't know my, anyway, and I'm kidding. But he has always been a Jack Nicklaus nut. Like, even as a kid, as we sort of started to get into golf, and the reason we got into golf, somebody asked me that this week, it's a great sport when you're my age because you can still get better, right? I have to admit, football days are over. Hockey days are declining. I just have to face reality. But golf, right, you can still kind of get better and enjoy that for a long time. And we had a neighbor who moved in to our house back in Weston who was a police officer. And what he did was he was a golfer and a great guy from Ireland and loved to play golf. And we hadn't been introduced to golf at all. We were like 12, 13 years old. And he loved to have his boots nice and shiny and his holster shiny. And he was kind of in the parades and stuff like that. So if we shone his boots, he would take us golfing. So that's how we started to play golf. And Jeff very quickly became a Jack Nicklaus nut. And so one year at the Canadian Open, practice round situation, my brother is following Jack Nicklaus, and Jack must have had too many coffees that morning, so he had to go to the little boys' room, porta potty. My brother being my brother, here's my chance, right? So he walks over and kind of waits in front of the porta potty. Jack Nicklaus comes out, and my brother, being my brother, puts his arm around Jack Nicklaus and says, "Do you mind if I get my picture taken with you?" "Yeah, sure." And so in my brother's living room to this day, this is like 20 years ago, there's my brother with his arm around Jack Nicklaus as a buddy took a picture. And the expression is, in other words, "I can't believe I'm actually touching this guy," right? He got really, really near. Right, and I'm sure Jack was sort of, you know, changed by the experience of my brother. Sometimes we can get very near. And as interesting as it is when we get near to people on this earth we admire, respect, think about what is presented to us today. We are encouraged. We are given the opportunity. We are here taught and invited to draw near to God. Think about that. Let us draw near to God. There's the invitation of Scripture. Let us draw near to the Almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present, creator of heaven and earth. Let us draw near. Wow. I don't care who you are in this world. I don't care what skills you have. I don't care what status you may carry. I don't care, you know, what line of royalty you come from. We will be, you know, those are great opportunities. They do not measure with the invitation to draw near to Almighty God. What an awesome opportunity that is, and that's extended to each and every one of us. And this morning, there might be some here who that seems a thought that is a very sort of disconnected, distant thought from your perception of who God is. God is one to be feared and sort of kept at a distance. That's not the God of Scripture. The God of Scripture reaches down to you and to me and says, come near. Come unto me, Jesus said, all who are, you know, laboring are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me. That's the invitation of Scripture. It's to draw near. It's to come near. And that is possible only, as we read in our passage this morning, because of what? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We can draw near to God. We can begin to build in a relationship with Almighty God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Have you drawn near to Almighty God through a personal faith in the person and the completed work and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Again, we want to be so very careful to bring those truths out each and every time we have people in front of us who come together with the Word of God open before us. And as I said last week, what a great opportunity this is to come in this beautiful new room to open the Word of God. And as we do so, we continue. We don't begin a legacy here. And I'm grateful that we can. This isn't beginning anything new. This is continuing a legacy where each and every opportunity we have, the gospel of Jesus Christ will be made clear to each and every person who is here today. Have you drawn near through a personal faith in Jesus Christ? Almighty God is inviting you to Himself. And the way you come is through belief. It's through faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Kirk, I don't know, we might go there in January. That's what's been in my head. Without faith, Hebrews tells us, it is impossible to please God. But through faith, through belief, yes, Lord, I recognize you as Almighty God, and I am but a sinner, separated from you because of my own sin, but you loved me so much, you sent Jesus Christ to this earth to go to the cross and shed his own precious blood as a spotless Lamb of God for me. And so by faith, I embrace him as my Savior and my Lord. I repent of my sin. I'm turning from my sin and accepting Christ as my own Savior and Lord. And with that commitment, friend, our sins have been forgiven, our relationship with God restored, and the hope of eternal life is ours. And with that commitment, we draw near to God. Wow! What an opportunity that is. Have you exercise that opportunity? Have you responded to that invitation of God's truth to draw near to Him? That might go contrary to what you were raised believing, that there's really no access to God without some other person involved, some other process. No, no. Right where you are, sitting in the seat you're sitting in right now, you can do business with God that will see you through and into eternity forever. Let us draw near. For those of us who have drawn near in that initial step of faith, we realize what a tremendous position is ours, and it's described in verse 22. We can confidently draw near to God with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Our hearts have been sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. Our bodies washed with pure water. At that moment of salvation, we are completely cleansed and forgiven. And because of the shed blood of Christ, because of the high priest we read about, which Jesus Christ is, in glory, we can draw near to God with confidence. Do we take advantage of that reality? And as we focus this morning on drawing in and what it means to draw in terms of building relationship with the Lord, do we take advantage of that opportunity to come into the presence of Almighty God with boldness, with humility, with confidence, with respect, and bring our requests and our petitions to Him? Because you see, here's where we move on into Christianity 101. You want to build in a strong relationship with the Lord, friend? You need to talk to Him. You need to talk to Him. What is the quality of your prayer life as a Christian when it comes to building relationship with God? What is the quality of your prayer life? If you want to establish a relationship with anybody, if you want a growing relationship with anybody in your life, you need to talk to them. If I got up every day and said the exact same thing to my wife of almost, 20... It's a good thing she's not here. 27 years. Right? Think about it. Think about what a relationship, a marriage be like. A relationship with your kids, your best friend, whoever it might be, if you just said the same thing to them at a repetition each and every day. Is that the quality of your prayer life? If you want to build in relationship with the Lord, if you want to draw nearer and nearer and nearer, you need to talk to the Lord. You need to communicate to Him. You need to, with confidence, because of our standing and position in Him, come and in the name and because of the blood of Jesus Christ, pour out your heart to Him. Folks, as parents, we want our kids to come to us, don't we? We want them to feel free to come and pour out their hearts to us. As I shared on Wednesday night, my kids are pretty good about doing that. But depending on the issue, they go to mom or they go to dad, right? Depending on which one of them it is and, you know, in their own little way, what they need. They go to one of us. But what a joy it is when your kid comes to you because they want to know what you think, or they need your help, they need your direction, they're not sure, they need somebody to listen. That's what we want as parents. That's what Almighty God wants from me as His child, is to come and honestly pour out my heart to Him. Right? We can do that with confidence. You want a great example? Go to the Psalms. We don't see David just rhyming off a list of things in every psalm. We see him pouring out his heart. Confused sometimes. Angry sometimes. Full of passion and love for his Almighty Father sometimes. But it's honest, right? It's from the heart. And why is David in the Hall of Fame? Why is David a man who is after God's own heart? Man, he made a mess. David made huge mistakes in his life. But why was he considered to be a man after God's own heart? Because he shared that heart. He had a passion for God. He had relationship. He had faith and a confidence in God. Do you want to build in a relationship with the Lord? You need to pray. Basic stuff, huh? But you need to pray. As opposed to what our prayer life often is. And friends, a lot of times it's just kind of vain repetition. I was reading this morning about a guy whose life, it seems, has turned out at this point anyway to be, you know, full of a lot of problems. And he played professional football. You may remember William the Fridge Perry, Chicago Bears, back in the 1980s. The Fridge was called the Fridge because the Fridge was 6'2", 335 pounds. And he was kind of built like a fridge. Big fridge, you know? And the amazing thing about the Fridge was, the Fridge could also run, right? And I've taught some kids over the years who are very big people. The Fridge, reading a bit about him this morning, grade 6, was over 200 pounds in grade 6. He was just a big person, right? But I've taught some kids over the years who are big people who are agile and quick. What a scary combination that is, right? That's what every recruiter, every coach, everybody's looking for that in the sport of football. You can get size and speed. That's what we're looking for. Very unique sort of combination. The Fridge is one of those people who was big and who was quick. And reading and listening to a story about the Fridge back in the 1980s with the Chicago Bears, who were a Super Bowl winning team. They were coached by Mike Ditka. Mike Ditka was, pretty hard-nosed kind of guy. But I was surprised to find out that before every game, after sort of getting the guys around him and sort of giving them his last sort of thoughts and encouragement and motivation, he would have somebody pray. every game he would have somebody pray. So in this particular day, game day, he said, okay, Fridge, I want you to say a prayer and I'm finished. Okay, coach. So Coach Ditka started to give the charges to the boys. And he kind of noticed Fridge sweating. Now, the Fridge sweats all the time. I mean, you know, he was always sweating. But he seemed to be sweating a little more profusely than normal. Fridge, do you know how to pray? Yes, coach, I know how to pray. Okay. So then he started, kept talking and getting everybody pumped up. And now they're ready to take the field. Okay, Fridge. And everybody took their helmets off and bowed their heads. And what did the Fridge come up with? What did the Fridge come up with when it came to pray? Now, he says, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. God bless the Chicago Bears. Right? You see? And Fridge had a mom or a grandma who put him to bed every day as a little boy and said that prayer. That's all he knew when it came time to praying before they took to the field. And we find that a little funny. But how does that describe my prayer life sometimes? It's just the same thing over and over and over again. As opposed to words that come from my heart. Where I sit down. Where I block out the world. Where I close the door, where I turn off the computer, where I turn off the phone, where I turn off the TV, and I sit and I pray honestly, truthfully, from the heart to Almighty God. Do you want to grow nearer? What is the quality of your prayer life? Secondly, we read here that we do draw near to the Lord through prayer. But secondly, we read in verse 23, let us hold fast. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. When we exercise faith in someone and have complete trust in them, our relationship is strengthened. The Lord wants us to take him at his word. And as believers, we have tremendous hope in an eternal future in heaven because the Lord has promised this to everyone who believes, and he can be completely trusted because he is faithful. Let us draw near with a full heart, a heart full of assurance, of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Our God is faithful. He can be counted on. He can be completely trusted. And if we want to build deep in our relationship with Almighty God, we need to come to him holding tightly onto our faith, onto our hope, because he who has promised all that we hold dear is faithful. He can be trusted. We can count on him to give us whatever it is he knows we need. That may not be what we think we need when we need it. But we can come by faith and trust him and hold on tightly to him. And I wonder if there have been times in your life where you feel you are at your wit's end, where life has throwing you situations, circumstances that, you know, have been crushing. And maybe there are people here this morning who life is currently really difficult. And as a Christian, you're just barely holding on, but you're sliding. The grip of your faith is starting to let go. Because you're not quite sure where God is in all of this. And I know there are people here who have experienced life at its most complicated, you know, situations. And I spent some time this weekend with people in the last year have experienced tremendous loss. And they're just holding on as Christians. Have you ever been there? Just holding on. And my encouragement to them, and my encouragement to you is, when we're at that crossroads, we need to be reminded that our God is faithful. It's just what I was preparing for this morning. We need to stay near. And even though you don't feel like praying, pray. Even though you don't feel like reading the Scriptures, read the Scriptures. And that's the practice we want to focus on the second point. You may not feel like reading the Scriptures, but read the Scriptures. Read those stories. Remind your heart and your mind about the faithfulness of God. We need to pour the Word of God into us if we want to build in close relationship with Him. Because as we read the Scriptures, we learn of His faithfulness. And we are reminded there is hope. He is there in the darkness. And even though life doesn't make any sense sometimes, He is there. He has promises. He is faithful, and He's just saying, hold on and trust me. And sometimes it seems like a pat answer. But friends, it is the truth. And that's why it's a pat answer sometimes. Pray and read the Scripture. A bunch of years ago now, I was struggling. I was spinning my wheels. And it was in the very early days of my career in the teaching business, because I was dropped into this very high needs brand new school that was full of kids with behavior issues, with mental health issues, with family issues, with learning issues. I love them to death. And I'm still there 27 years later, and I love going to work every day, so don't get me wrong. But boy, in those early days, I was trying to figure this all out. And I was a kid. I was 25 years old. And I'm dropped into this job. I didn't even apply for it. I had no job at the school I was at. And so they just said, okay, Dale, do you want a job in teaching? Sure. Well, you are now a guidance counselor in this school. Guidance counselor? Me? A counselor? You know? But there I was, and day in, day out, being bombarded with these issues. You know, and there's, you know, young 14-year-old girls whose lives are a disaster, who are in danger. We got to try and help out. And how can I help? What can I do? I can't leave this building. There were just so many needs I didn't want to do, and I kind of got the point of kind of burning out from all of this. And at the lowest point in all of that, I got the point where I didn't feel like praying. I'm being honest. I didn't feel like reading the Scripture. I was so distracted with all of their problems and my inadequacies that I didn't have the energy to read the Bible. Some of you might know what that's. I just had enough. I wanted to sort of just check out and kind of somehow disconnect from life in terms of, you know, the responsibility. I just wanted to kind of just go play golf or something, right? But even I couldn't do that because I was just too caught up with all these problems that I couldn't solve, that I have answers for. But I had people around me. We're going to get to that next. Dale, stay near. Keep reading. Keep praying. I know it seems empty to you, but it's not. Keep reading. Keep reading. And so I was reading. And I've probably shared with you in the past. But I read, and I don't even know how I got there, but I read a story that my mom probably told me as a little boy. I read a story that we hear in Sunday school over and over and over again. And I read this story for the first time when I was probably 25 and really had the impact that it needed to have. And here's little David in front of the giant. And the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth. And the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come near to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." Oh, that had a whole different meaning for me now. That was the beginning of me sort of crawling out of that pit. The sovereignty of God. Lord, I don't know how to help this 14-year-old who's living in some motel down the lakeshore. Lord, I don't know how to deal with the family issues of this kid at home who's living on the street. I don't know what I can do. Dale, you don't need to know. You don't need to know. Matter of fact, I know you don't know. And that's why you're supposed to trust me, because I do know. And because I am the Lord of hosts, I am in control of everything. And all I'm asking you, Dale, is to draw near and trust me. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And we can do that with confidence because he is faithful. Friend, if you're struggling this morning, and as a Christian, you know, you're kind of losing grip on your faith, let me encourage you to draw near and pray. Let me encourage you to hold fast, to kind of re-grip and be guilded to pull, you know, closer through reading the scriptures. Read them. I was speaking on a similar theme a few years ago to church, and I made reference to the Bible Promise book. And I usually carry one of these with me. Unfortunately, my brain has probably been concussed too many times for me to remember a lot of scripture as much as I should. And so this is a very helpful resource, right? So the Bible Promise book at the beginning, you can get it in any translation that you're most familiar with, but the contents is all just topics. Is the issue anger? Is the issue fear? Is the issue worry? What is it? And then you simply turn to that page and there's a whole bunch of scriptures that deal with that topic. And it's a great resource. So when you look up fear, you know, a lot of people are fearful today. We find just scripture after scripture that deal with fear. How helpful that is, right? To help us hold on. We find verses like, "For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you." Isaiah 41:13. We find statements like, "So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" That's Hebrews 13:6. Psalm 46:1, "God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble." That's what we need. Right? And it's a great resource to do that. I just picked two topics, worry and fear. Worry, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." Philippians. Psalm 32, "You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him," the Lord says in Psalm 91. You see how good it is to fill our hearts and our minds with the truth of God. I finished that message that Sunday, and just making reference to this. And at the back, I had a woman come up to me who had just become a Christian, and she didn't even own a Bible. Right, so here we are in Canada. I have 20 in my office, right? And I said, "Well, you know, you come back next Sunday and I'll have a Bible for you, but you can take this." Well, then another person came up to me saying, "Dale, you got another one of those?" "No." "Somebody, Dale, where do I get that? Dale, can I?" A businessman, a really gracious businessman, overheard that. And he came up to me and he said, Dale, I don't care what it costs. There's about 500 people here. Can you just go buy 500 loaves and just give me the bill? I said, sure. I love spending somebody else's money, you know? So it was a Sunday, I realized, but there was a store in that community that I know was a bookstore and was open. And they sold Bibles and stuff like that. And so I walked in after leaving the service to order 500 of these. And as I walked in, there was a woman there talking to one of the clerks, and she turned and went, "That's him! That's him! That's the guy!" Whoa. You know? I can make a guy a little nervous in public, right? There's that woman who was so determined to get her hands on Scripture. She went and she had no idea what kind of Bible, you know, what should I get, what shouldn't I get, you know, big one, little one, you know, how's it all work, right? And so I was able to go with her and we got her a Bible. I ordered 500 of those, and next Sunday, person after person after person, here, take it, take it, take it. And the number of people who have since come back to that just being a significant part in their journey, to breaking the Word of God down just so simply and just to grab it, just to grab the nuggets that we need when we need it, have been so helpful. And maybe it'll be an encouragement to you. Let us hold on. Let us hold on fast to our hope, to our faith, because He who promised is faithful. And we need to conclude with our final point this morning, which is found in verse 24. Let us consider how to stir one another up to love and to good works. Let us consider one another. The quality and depth of our relationship with the Lord can be encouraged by those around us. Friends, we need each other. I spend time at the end of every August with all the new teachers that come into our building. Some of them have been teaching for 20 years. Some of them are rookies right out of school. And I begin this whole process of mentoring and sort of helping them find their way with this truth from Scripture. If you think you're going to survive and this place is an island, you might as well go find another job now. Because you won't survive on your own here. This is like an educational trauma unit. We need each other. We depend on each other. And if you think you're just going to kind of come and just do your thing and leave and go home, you're going to struggle. And I've seen people been doing this for a long time who just try and do it like they did it elsewhere. But it's, you know, there's too many emotional demands throughout the day. And you have to process it. You have to, you know, rely on each other. You need to lean on each other. The lone wolves don't survive, or they end up spending an awful lot of, you know, healthcare money on prescriptions. And I'm not kidding. I've seen people come in as healthy, fit, former phys ed people who leave in 4 years, basket cases, and physically a mess, with 10 prescription drugs in bottles sitting on their desk by the time they're done, with high blood pressure and all kinds of stuff, right? You won't survive if you try and do that. And friends, as Christians, we won't survive if we try and do it isolated from other Christians. The model of Scripture is that of community. We need each other to encourage each other, to build each other, to help each other grow nearer and nearer and nearer to our Lord. And we're living in a day and age of spectator church. Right? I was talking to Dr. Cable about that earlier. Right? There's so many things in churches that were once run by congregants, by people jumping in and taking leadership and coming together and doing it. And now we just pay people to do it. Why? So I can just slide in and slide out. Maybe write a check every week or whatever, and it's good. Yeah. That's not a comment about staff. I have my own perspective on staff in certain churches, and I have a perspective on it. I'm not here to promote that one way. That's not the issue. The issue is we need each other. We need to come together. We need to work together. We need to serve together. We need to play together. That's my specialty. We need to, right, come together. And I know and encourage each other. What is the simplest way of encouraging each other? This I need to finish. What is the simplest way of encouraging each other? I won't find that in 1 Samuel 17. I will find it in Hebrews 11, in our passage. Here it is. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as the habit of some is. You want to know the simplest form of encouragement, friends? Simply showing up. The simplest form of encouragement is simply showing up and parking it in a chair. That's the simplest part. This is Christianity 101. I'm not even talking about jumping into ministry together, running programs. You may not be there yet. Hopefully you will be one day. It begins with just showing up. One of the first courses I took at university was by this brilliant professor. It was a sports administration course where we were going to learn how to lead and be administrators and all that stuff. There were, 100 people in this course. The first class met in a room for 20 people. His point was, what do you think about me in this course? Well, this must be something. I mean, look at all the people who had crammed in here trying to get into your course. It was purely a perception, right? But there was hype. There was interest. Yeah, and he says, you know what? If I took the 100 of you and put you in that lecture hall that sits 2,000, you'd think, oh, what a waste this course is. Obviously, nobody wants to take this course. The simplest form is showing up and filling the place. Because it now has this critical mass about it. It says, hey, this is important to you. You're here. You're always here. And what an encouragement it is to walk into a church on a Sunday morning like this where people are always here. And they make it a priority to be here. Because that draws me nearer to my God. It encourages my faith. It helps me in my journey just to see you here. Don't be a stranger to this place. Beautiful new room. Beautiful grand opening. Eventually the grand opening will end. It'll be over. And when I go home tonight, I won't be back here for a while. But I sure hope you are. Keep filling the seats. Keep filling the seats. And even when you don't feel like filling the seat, fill the seat. And I promise you, you'll be blessed. And you'll be blessed because the person beside you will be blessed. We need each other. And I need to finish. Something interesting from Max Licato. I'll finish with two things. Questions can make hermits out of us, driving us into hiding. Yet the cave has no answers. Christ distributes courage through community. He dissipates doubts through fellowship. He never deposits all knowledge in one person, but distributes pieces of the jigsaw puzzle to many. When you interlock your understanding with mine, and we share our discoveries, when we mix, mingle, confess, and pray, Christ speaks. Only Max Licato can say it sometimes with the right words, huh? And so the encouragement to you, the encouragement to me. And I know, you know, in my world, I love the opportunities the good Lord gives me. The downside is I have a different church family every Sunday morning. And I never go to church with my own family. That's a downside. But we understand that. That's the way it works. And everybody's good with it. Right? But when I show up Sunday morning to a place like this, I got to tell you, I leave blessed. Because it's not always the case. Some of the places I go, there's just a handful of dear, wonderful folks. And I'll go to speak to one person. Don't get me wrong. I don't care. But boy, it's a different deal when the people are always there. Right? I go to one church, there's 150 young people sitting right here every time I go there. Wow! Right? And what a great thing it is to see the cross-section of people here in this church and be able to hear last Saturday night and speak to all those young people. It's wonderful. We need to continue to encourage and build up each other and make sure we continue to fill the seats, because that is such a tremendous blessing to one another. So, how do we build in? Let us draw near through prayer. Let us hold fast to the study of Scripture. Let us encourage one another and build each other up through coming together and not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, using the old language. God bless you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for being with us today. Thank you for the opportunity to draw near to you. Wow. Draw near to the Almighty God. We know that's possible because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and we trust each person here has exercised faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ on their behalf. If not, we pray that today will be the day of salvation and their life's experience. For those of us who have made that commitment to the Lord, Father, help us to continue to draw nearer and nearer and nearer to you through prayer, through Bible study, through reading the Scriptures, through fellowshipping with your people. Lord, we need each other. We thank you for each person who's here. We thank you for each person who's committed to Roslyn Ridge Bible Chapel. Father, we pray that you'll continue to use us and use one another to build up and build in and build deep as it comes to our relationship with you, because we share roots in the person of Jesus Christ. Father, we just pray that you'll part us now this afternoon, bless our days, bless whatever we have to do, bring us back safely tonight, and we'll be looking so forward to enjoying your people together again, with the Word of God open before us. Thank you, Father. Part us with your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.